Hey, this is Nathan Jenkins from Loon Mountain Ministry, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. We welcome you to join us, the trees, the rocks, and all of creation as we worship our great God. Enjoy the message. All right, I'm going to have you guys, if you could, stay standing just out of reverence for God's word. We're going to read this together. So if you look on the front of your bulletins, you'll see it. There's a beauty as we read God's word because it's a reminder. We believe here that it is one of the foundations of what we how we can know about God and how we can know who Jesus is. And so we're going to read it together out of reverence. Today's passage comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Nice and loud with me. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Thank you, guys. You may be seated.
All right. Well, my friends here from the Midwest, they came on a big old tour bus. And I love that they come in. Oh, is that going to keep up? Okay. I know. Our sound system thinks we're crazy, like I said, being up here today. But these guys, their church service looks a little different than ours. And I love that they choose to come and worship with them. So I've asked them to sing one of their songs that they would sing at their church. And I just love it. Because like I said earlier, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of different tongues, a lot of different tribes, a lot of different things. And we're all going to be in unison glorifying God. So if you guys wouldn't mind, sing them one of your church songs. I love this every year when they come and sing one. So. Wow. Thank you, guys. Every time it makes me cry, and why it makes me cry is because when someone sings of God's love for me and for people in another language from another culture, I don't know about you, but it just makes me feel like God's love is real. It's not just something my grandma told me about, which I'm glad she did. It's not just something that my people believe in. It's global. And it's not just global, it's from time and time. Because when I heard you guys singing in that German, I just thought, how old is that song? How many people have sung about the love of God? And I just think that's awesome. So thank you guys. It's really, really encouraging to me. So in the mood of singing, finish this with me. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. The sport of baseball, they call it America's sport. Right now in the playoffs, and anybody from Pennsylvania here? Some Pennsylvanians over there, you guys are having a good time. The Phillies they're doing great, took out the Braves. And this game of baseball, I have no idea. I didn't research it. I don't know where baseball came up with three strikes. I don't know where baseball came up with three strikes, but maybe it was because they were reading Titus chapter 3, because Paul gives three strikes in here. He literally says, if these people are causing divisions, give them one, give them two, on the third chance, you're out. I don't know. Maybe the inventors of baseball was watching this. I've always wondered that because five strikes seems weird. And, you know, I don't know if you grew up in a household like mine, but mine did. Marcus, Kent, Corey, you get over here on the count of three. One, two. Now, my mom was a little gracious, so it'd be 2.5, 2.75. Or maybe I was a little slow because maybe she didn't have to do that for my sister, but I get the halves and the three quarters. But, you know, the number three, you know, is unique, and Paul is talking about it in here. So this is a letter from Paul to Titus. Titus was a missionary to an island off the coast of Greece, the biggest island there called Crete. And Crete was full of a bunch of ruffians, real ruffians. Maybe you've heard of this before, but don't be a Cretan. Oh, you're such a Cretan. These people were so rough, so bad, that we have a nickname 2,000 years later that's still based upon these people. So they must have been pretty rugged. But God loved them. That's what I love hearing your song. God loved them so much that he saved Titus. And the church was so blind that they almost didn't send Titus. The church was so blind because Titus didn't dress like the church. Titus didn't think like the church. He did things that the church in Jerusalem weren't too pumped about. See, he was a Gentile, and Paul had led him to the Lord. And when he came down to Jerusalem, they said, well, he's a Gentile, Paul. He doesn't use the correct version of the Bible. Oh, he's a Gentile, Paul. He's got tattoos. Oh, he's a Gentile, Paul. I think he voted for the other political party than we endorsed. And the church almost didn't send a missionary to an island that God dearly loved. And so Paul is talking about this as he finishes up this chapter in chapter 3. And 3 is a really unique number in Scripture. So I talked about counting to 3. Paul talks about 3 strikes here. But 3 is right in the beginning of the Bible. Right through the first chapter, God says this: let us make humankind in our own image. The 3 was right there. That's why you and I were made for relationship. You and I were made for relational connectivity. I love these evergreen trees, but these evergreen trees weren't made for relational connectivity. They weren't made in the image of God. But the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, looked at one another and said, let us make humankind in our own image. 3 is a very important number. 3 is a very important number. It's the relational triune God. And here we are, Paul knows that. Paul knows that. Looked up another thing that Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, and Paul said this to end the book in Corinthians. He said, may, and this is in 2 Corinthians 13:14, he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Paul knew the number 3 really well. You know, I do a lot of weddings actually right here. There's over 50 weddings that happen here a season. And one of the things that we talk about in weddings, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest person on earth said, a cord of one is easily broken. A cord of two can defend themselves. But a cord of 3 is very difficult to break. 3, again, there it is. And when it comes to a marriage, when it comes to a wedding, when it comes to unity together, it's the husband and the wife and God. That's the 3. Cord of 3 is hard to break. So Paul gives these 3 strikes. Well, what are these 3 strikes for? We as the church, we love to give strikes to people, don't we? We love to say that you're down in the count. We love to point the finger. And I just find it quite interesting what Paul's doing here. Paul didn't say, all right, you got 3 chances for drinking. You got 3 chances for rock and roll. You got 3 chances to vote correctly. You got 3 chances to go to school the right place. You got 3 chances to wear the right clothes. You got 3 chances to not swear. You got 3 chances to not have sex. We as the church love to point at those and call people out when they strike out on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But I find it quite interesting. Paul didn't say 3 strikes you're out on those in Titus here. They talk about those in some other places and say it's not so great for you, but not here. Do you know what he says to the church in Titus about being 3 strikes you're out? Here it is. Spiritual pedigrees, also translated spiritual genealogies, and quarreling about fights about the Jewish law. You know what I find quite interesting 2,000 years later? Our very denominations of our churches have been formed on arguments about spiritual pedigrees and the obedience of the law. I am just guessing at this, but I have a feeling that if Paul was here in the flesh, he'd have a few things to say about how divided we are among Christians. And he wouldn't be talking about, well, I don't like that you guys listen to that music now, or that you guys drink that, or that you guys say that. He would talk about our dividing the church over spiritual genealogies and interpretations of the law. He was so serious about it that he said, if anybody in your church is creating division, if they're a decisive person, talk to them once. They're doing it again, talk to them twice. If they're doing it a third time, hey, there's no room here for that. And I feel like we as the church 2,000 years later, we flipped it on its head. We have told people that there's no room in here for being a sinner. There's no room in here if your life looks messed up, if you've had a kid out of wedlock, or if you're a closet drinker, or if you're addicted to a substance that's bad for you, or if you swear, or you don't dress properly, or you don't listen to good music. We've said, this is not a place for you. Whether we've done it actual verbally, or we've done it subconsciously, but the world 100% believes that the church is no place for a ruffian like me. But yet Paul did not say that. Paul was very serious that the three strikes come for people who are dividing the church. And boy, I feel like all of our denominations, all of our expressions of church have all come from divisions. Paul would be like, oh my goodness, guys, are you kidding me? Are you really telling me right now that of Baptist churches in the United States, there's 3,000 different kinds of just Baptists? That's insane, guys. One of the things that we have got to understand, myself included, is that we have an issue with what I've heard one guy call real-time grace, or grace in the now, or grace in the present. We seem to do hindsight grace, past tense grace, really well. Well, what's grace? Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. What's mercy? Mercy's not getting something you do deserve. And we as the church talk about grace and mercy all the time. We sing all kinds of songs about it. We've written books about it. We've got banners of it in our church. They're even in our names. First grace this, grace that, grace river, grace tree, grace mountain, mercy tree. We have it all in our names, on our signs. Our websites are named that. But we struggle with mercy and grace in the present tense, in the now. We love hindsight grace. We love hindsight mercy. Why? Because hindsight grace and hindsight mercy doesn't require us to give it. Let's just think about this for a second. If I was to tell you that a prominent Christian author today, an incredible Christian author, one that we all loved. One day when he should be at work, he kind of felt a little lazy, so he stayed home and he Googled women bathing on the roof. Don't do that. But he did. And he found what he was looking for. And he liked it so much that he called up the woman and said, can you come over to my house? And she said, no, I got a husband. He goes, I know, but I'm really, really wealthy and I'm really, really famous and I've written a big book. Everyone really likes me. She goes, well, okay. She comes over and commits adultery. He likes her so much and he's so wound up about the adultery, he decides, you know what? I'm going to cut the brake line in her husband's car. So he cuts the brake line in the husband's car of this woman that he's committed adultery with. And he goes out in the car the next morning and he goes into an intersection. He's hit by a pulp truck and he dies. Then all this comes out that this huge famous Christian author had a pornography addiction, slept with a neighbor, and then murdered her husband. Do you think that we would cancel that author and we would sell all their books or we would burn them? Would we not? As a culture? As a Christian culture? Okay, then you need to take the book of Psalms out of your Bible. The book of Psalms can no longer be in your Bible. How many people love the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms is incredible. The story that I just told you was about the author of the book of Psalms. That's King David. The Bible says that when kings go out to war, David stayed home. And he looked at Bathsheba. Don't take a bath on the roof, girls. Stop it. You're only asking for problems. You're only asking for kings to come and make your life miserable. Okay. We're talking, that's a doozy. That's a doozy. How about a really wussy kind of guy? Really famous author, a really famous leader, but man, he was a wuss. He was such a wuss that his wife was so pretty that when someone else wanted his wife, he was like, "Oh, that's my sister." That's kind of weird. And this dude didn't trust God, so he slept with the cleaner of his house so that they could have a kid. That's the founder of the Jewish faith, Abraham. How about this one? How about this one? Someone who said, "I don't believe in Jesus," 3 times. Nope, never heard of him. Nope, never heard of that guy. Don't like that guy at all. Well, you got to take the books of Peter out of your Bible. See, we love hindsight grace. We love grace in the past because it has nothing to do with you. But how about your children? Are you giving them grace? How about your neighbor who votes for the other political party? Are you giving them grace? How about your coworker that drives you crazy? How about your spouse that you're really struggling with? How about anyone that drives you crazy? How about the church? How about the church with people in here that are making bad decisions? It's crazy that we will look at the grace that God gave us on the cross and look at the mercy that he offered us, but yet in the church we're so condescending, we're so judgmental. It's such a bummer. The most famous verse in scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Most of you guys completed that in your head while I said it. It's in literally the stands at football games. It's painted on huge barns down in the South. Hardly anyone has John 3:17 at a football game. Hardly anyone has John 3:17 on a barn down in the South. You know what John 3:17 says? It says that Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn it, but to save it. Why did the church get on the bandwagon of condemning everything? Jesus did not come to the world to condemn it, but to save it. So what do we do? What is this? 3 strikes, you're out. Because you know what? I'm guilty. I should be kicked out of Paul's church. I'm divisive. I'm divisive about things that don't matter, like the Patriots versus the... anybody else? The Raiders. Anybody else? Or the Red Sox versus anybody else? Funny things like that. Divisive against snowboarding versus skiing. Don't even go there, she said. We're a ski church. How many here pray for summer? How many pray for sun? How many pray for sun and summer? How many here pray for winter and snow? See, we're a divided church. Funny things like that, but what about more closer things? You know, that we can get divisive about, that I can get very, very passionate and heated about, that later I'm like, why was I so passionate and heated about that? You know why? Because I'm not okay with myself and I want to be on a team that wins. And so I want to draw a line in the sand and I want to say, you're a loser and I'm a winner and I know because this. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus came to the world to save it, not condemn it. So what do we do? Because Paul's talking about the law here, the letter of the law. And he's talking about the Old Testament. There's the first 5 books in the Bible, and they're called the Torah. Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the first 5 books of the Bible, and they're called the books of the law. They're also known as the Torah. Check this out. The authors of the Torah were very particular people. Everything they did was thought through. You ready for this? In Genesis, in Exodus, every 40th letter spells the word Torah in those two books. Every 40th letter in those two books spells the word Torah. And in Deuteronomy and Numbers, every 39th verse spells Torah backwards, meaning the books of the law are pointed to Leviticus. And Leviticus is what Paul's talking about here, is the law. Leviticus has all these laws in it. And so Torah, every 40th letter, points to the middle finger, right? And this, every backwards, it says Torah. What do the letters in the book of Exodus, I mean, in the book of Leviticus says? I heard it mouthed over there. You all are saying it right now. Everyone take a big, deep breath in. Take a big, deep breath out. Yahweh. What the Bible is trying to tell you and me, and what Paul is trying to tell the Cretans in through Titus, we can't uphold the law. We cannot. We'll be crushed under its weight. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Yahweh. It's all about God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the reason why Paul gets very upset about people that divide the church is because when we divide, we miss the point. And the point is that God so loved the world that he gave his son to take the penalty of you and me not being able to uphold the law. So that when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our hearts, that we can be saved. We can be saved from myself. We can be saved from this law. And Paul says, if anyone would divide over that, you got to leave. If you want to divide over what, you know, other things, like whatever, he's like, no division. There's one God and one Savior, his son. God wants you to know that. It's getting cold. I think we should talk to him and sing another song. God, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you take it very seriously that we do not divide amongst each other. That you sent your son to save us. You did not send your son to divide us. You did not send your son to create teams that were in and teams that were out. God, we're just a people, and those that have put their faith, hope, and love in Jesus, we're just beggars who have found bread. And we need to point other beggars to the bread. Help us to live with open hands. Help us to be guided by your Holy Spirit. Help us to love the way you first loved us. Thank you for books like Titus and inspiring authors like Paul. Help us to put our faith, hope, and love and trust in you. Thank you for mountaintops. Thank you for attention during cold church services. Thank you for hot cocoa and coffee, blankets, warm jackets. We love you, God. Help us to put our faith, hope, and trust in you. And we are sorry for dividing the way we do. Help us to think twice before we're going to get into any kind of a quarrel and argument about things of faith. Help us to trust you and to love others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We here at Loon Mountain Ministry are committed to loving God, serving community, and enjoying mountains. We want to thank you for being a part of our collective high five this week as we seek to be a light in the White Mountains and all around the world. Please feel free to reach out to us at info@loonmtnministry.com so we can get more connected. See you guys.